Okay, and as I normally do, Mel, would you like to do the intro or would you like me to do the intro?
I would be honored to do so, ma'am.
Okay, well, thank you, sir.
Sir!
Go ahead. Madame! Mademoiselle!
Yeah, okay.
Mon chéri, my
Let's
love.
Just stick with Melanie for now.
Okay, fine. It's a little bit boring, but you know, hey, fine. We can be boring today.
Yes, we shall be. This is going to be an exciting episode, full of boredom.
Yay.
Hello and welcome to Popcast, your Harry Potter happy place. This episode is 39 on September 15th, 2021. I am your host, Melanie.
And I'm Juliana. And today we are thinking, what if? I did back away from the microphone, so it shouldn't be that terrible, Mel. Did I scare you? Are you awake? Hello?
I mean, I can tell what you're about to do, but people will be shocked when they hear it.
Good. I'm very happy that I was able to scare the underpants off of a few people today. My day is done. Okay, goodbye. Mel will be hosting the rest of this by herself. I've done my job. Bye.
No problem. Bye.
Okay, well, listeners, if we have not scared you away quite yet, thank you for staying.
But let me ask you, Juliana, how are you doing today?
Oh, it's been a long week, Mel, but you know, you and I are here and I'm a little bit sore, but I'm feeling mostly okay, so that's good.
Yeah, and as you can tell by our intro, we are tired.
Yeah, it's been a long year.
Long 100 years.
Yeah. Wow, we're getting old, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, so far we don't look it, but that might be because we are vampires. Oh, oops, should I not have said that?
Oh, it's okay. When people see me in the sunlight, they'll know. I sparkle like this, like 1,000 diamonds.
This is why I live in Finland. We barely have sunshine.
I'm safe like half the year up here in Massachusetts. Maybe I should move to Seattle and meet my friends Edward and Bella over there.
Okay. Now that we have cleared that up, shall we first head into our feedback?
Yes! Do-do-do-do-do-do! News! Hello and welcome to the news! Today on the news, Juliana here reporting live from Hogwarts Castle as usual, and today is a lovely day. Luckily, there's a little bit of cloud cover, so no one will find out that I'm a vampire. Oops! So... That's more of a snake than anything. I don't know what sound vampires make. Blood! Blood, 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 blood. Maybe that. So our first little bit of news is something to do with the Fantastic Beasts movies, and it is that David Yates will be taking a break from filming the Fantastic Beasts movies. They have wrapped up filming the third Fantastic Beasts film. David Yates said that he's looking for a break from the universe of Harry Potter, which I don't blame him because it's been a long time since he became the director of a series, and I feel as though, besides maybe Star Wars, there really aren't that many other directors out there that have stuck along that long. And even with Star Wars, it's mostly in 3-movie increments. And even the one-off, like Rogue One, has a different director.
Mm-hmm.
So,
not to stir the pot too much, but is there a possibility that he might not want to be associated with it anymore either, because it's so much controversy around it now that he might cut the break here and says that, okay, I'm kind of done with the drama and I politely gonna take a break in quotation marks now and is not gonna continue.
Yeah, he's that date that goes to use the bathroom and just kind of shows themselves out of the restaurant while you're waiting for your food to come.
Yeah,
I definitely could see him doing that. Not in a bad way, but I don't blame him. There is quite a lot of drama that has happened around the third Fantastic Beasts movie, the whole Fantastic Beasts franchise on the whole. he's made a good name for himself with the Harry Potter movies, I would say, thus far.
Very true. Yeah.
And maybe with this third one, he's thinking, if they take it to a fourth and a fifth movie, I don't really want to be part of any of the drama that comes with it. I would really just like to leave on a good note. So we do have a quote here that says, with Warner Brothers letting Yates know there will be a break between the third and the fourth Fantastic Beasts films. And to that I say, what the actual bleep? Because it's been such a long time since we got the second one. And to put another break in is just, I would say, dooming the fandom.
I mean, there's supposed to be always 2 years in between, right? So they just possibly gonna have that as planned.
I guess. I feel like it's been dragged out so long at this point that adding more time to this just doesn't really put the franchise in a good spot. Regardless of how the movies are, it doesn't set up the franchise for success, even if the third movie is very successful.
I mean, if he's fully leaving, that could be a bad thing for the whole franchise itself. That who's gonna replace him, first of all? Who knows the world as much as he does?
Yeah.
And is that gonna be good or bad? I am a little bit worried about that. But I guess we will find out in the next 100 years until movie 4 and 5 come out.
Yeah.
If we still hope that they will definitely come out.
Yeah. And so from where we left off the quote, one of the key architects in that franchise and the Harry Potter series was looking for something on the smaller scale after a run of large production. So it sounds like he wants to start doing some smaller work as well, which again, I don't blame him. Being able to pick up a small indie film would actually be kind of relaxing, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. Further on the news, we have this really cool mobile game that I found.
Yes.
It's just kind of popping around on YouTube. And I haven't heard anyone else talk about this or really seen anyone else do anything with this. So maybe breaking news, listeners, breaking news. Juliana was on YouTube and she found this because she thought it was pretty. And she was like, what is this? But there is a game that is coming out called Harry Potter Magic Awakened. And it's going to be a mobile game. If you want to watch the trailers, you can just go over to YouTube and put in Harry Potter Magic Awakened, or you can go to harrypottermagicawakened.com. And as of right now, they are doing the beta testing for it in Southeast Asia, but the animation style is just absolutely gorgeous. Granted, the animation style that we're getting in these YouTube videos probably won't be to the same
standard.
It's probably better than what it's going to look like on a mobile game, obviously. But it's still very pretty, and it seems as though you'll be playing along as a different student, kind of either parallel or a little bit before or after Harry was there, because we get all of the professors. We have like Flitwick and Hagrid and McGonagall and Third Slughorn. It must be after Harry graduates, you going back as a student.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely very pretty to look at.
Yeah, it is.
I would highly encourage everyone to go look at it.
It's a good timing, maybe, because I think all the other mobile games that we have are not as actively played anymore. At least all of my friends and myself are not really playing these games anymore.
Yeah.
So it would be fun to try something new. Do we have any date where it might be officially coming out? Or you said it's beta testing right now, so that's gonna take a little bit time, I guess.
It just says coming soon.
Okay.
That's all it says. It says Magic Awakened coming soon.
That's been the title for Fantastic Beasts 3 for
a while.
50 years now. Coming soon.
Coming soon.
So that could mean anything by today's standard.
The magical adventure awaits you. Master the magic.
Okay.
So right now it seems as though you can beta test it in Japan, South Korea, Indonesia, the Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia, and Singapore.
Okay.
So that's not us.
So if you are over there, because we do have a couple listeners over there, hello to you. We love you.
Yes.
If you are one of those lucky people, let us know if you have some screenshots, if you're allowed to share some.
Yeah.
That would be great. I would love to see that.
That'd be awesome. We have news about the Cursed Child production in London, that the full cast has been announced, and that they will make their return on October 14th. This show is still being shown in two parts, and I would just like to say, what about the American show? You sold me the ticket. I would like to know what's happening with this one-part show. We haven't gotten any information about the one-part show, except for the fact that they're transitioning to a one-part show, but they haven't told us anything yet.
Yeah, that's true.
I would like some information. If anyone out there has any kind of relation to anyone in charge of Cursed Child, let me know when, maybe?
Juliana, for that, they're still using the hashtag keep the secrets. They are not telling you until you go to the show and see it for yourself.
That hashtag, my God. I was just so confused about it when it first came out. Because I read the script book first. And I was like, what are we keeping the secrets about?
I think it's more about the special effects and everything that happens on the stage and around the stage. So not about the story itself necessarily. That you're not giving too much away so people would go and actually enjoy it themselves for the first time without being spoiled.
Yeah.
So we also wanted to shout out our friends at Protego Foundation, which you might remember, lovely Ellie has been on a couple of episodes ago, and we just wanted to let you know that their second season of their ProtegoCast podcast has just come out. Ellie is now a full host, and I think both she and Emma did fabulously, so it was really fun, so go and check it out. Then we also wanted to shout out Danny, also known as Mandrakes and Mischief on Instagram, because Juliana took part to her now yearly challenge, which is called Back to Hogwarts on Instagram. And you have done some fabulous posts with the one and only
the Pizza Wizard! Oh, hello there. I just wanted to let all of our listeners know that I am currently over on our Instagram and I will be posting things as the month goes on. I am now the owner of a breadstick wand. Thank you very much. If you'd like to learn more about that, head over to our page and you can find me on TikTok at The Pizza Wizard. Yes, I am cool and hip and with the kids. The Pizza Wizard is one cool dude.
Okay, so...
Yes, okay, so come and join me over on Instagram and on TikTok. Yes, I'm going to go away because I have to go polish my breadwood wand. It's a very fancy wand. It also functions as a snack. So I shall see you later. Chip, chip, and cheerio.
Goodbye, Mr. Pizza. So head on over to Instagram, join the Back to Hogwarts challenge that Danny and her friends have organized. I think Paula is part of it as well. You can also find it under the hashtag Back to Hogwarts Magic. They're gonna have every day for the full September, each day a different topic that you can share pictures and tag them and just spread some Harry Potter joy. And Juliana has actually signed us up on Amazon Music.
Yes, so Amazon Music just started adding podcasts to their app. And like we said on other episodes, if there is a platform that you listen to podcasts on and you can't find us on, just let us know. I'm more than happy to find a way to get us onto that platform. It's usually possible, like 99% of the time. Now that we have done the news, news. We will go into the general feedback section and we have answers to Buttercup's question, which this week was, do you have a found family? And we got some lovely answers. Our first one was from Andre, our good friend and brother in spirit. And Andre said, I found you, Mel, and Juliana, and I couldn't ask for better and lovelier friends. You truly make me feel like part of your family, and I'm thankful for that so much. Three heart emojis in a row.
Lots of love.
Lots of love.
And right back at you, because we love you very much too, and we are so happy to have you part of our family.
Yes.
And then we still had Jeff, who wrote as well, if you are reading this, you are my found family, and I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yes. Well, that's a conversation you and I have both had, Mel, is that once you make a puff friend, it's a friend for life.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it to change it. So, oh well.
We're not even gonna fight it, Jeff. We will just let it happen and we'll be glad of it.
Yep. Okay. So we also got responses from our episode about going on a holiday, a magical holiday. And we asked people each day where they thought people that we talked about would go on vacation. Our first response is from Allie from the Protego Foundation and is about the Love Goods. And she said, I feel like they would get a weird map of the United States that has like the largest ball of yarn and most garden gnomes in a single garden and do a road trip.
I want to see the most garden gnomes in a single garden.
Yeah.
It's such a German thing, you know? But I think it has... Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they were German.
I'm not 100% sure if it's just a certain style of them that is originated probably from Germany. But I think you in the US have a lot of them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a fact check, I went to Google and there are actually 25 million garden gnomes living in German gardens. And the very first garden gnome was created 120 years ago in Thüringen, Germany. they come in all fun sizes and shapes and forms.
So here there's like kind of like two garden gnomes. There's the ones that you actually put in your garden that look like little people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the gnomes that my sister Maria likes, which are the ones that have the hats covering their eyes and they have the big nose and they all have long hair and little tiny bodies, and you put them more on shelves than you do in gardens. But those are very, very popular around here.
So our German gnomes usually have a red hat and they look like old men. So they have long gray whitish beards and have typical gnome clothes. I would have to show you a picture maybe. Maybe it's similar to what you guys have or very different. I'm not sure. But you have these classics that they look like they're doing gardening work or smoke pipe and that kind of stuff.
As you do while you're gardening.
Like what old men do.
Yeah.
They're really cute. But yeah, I could see them doing things like that.
Yes.
Then we had Real Fishy telling us where she thinks Snape would go, and she suggested to a lily field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he is still obsessed with Lily, even though it's been way too long of a time. He should have moved on by now. That's not healthy, my friend. Severus?
Can you imagine him having a bed right in the middle of a field of lilies and then sleeping there, and during the day to pass time, he's rolling through the fields of flowers and having it in his hair and...
Yay.
Oh, Lily.
We also had a response from Cinderoo Cosplays on Snape, and she thought he would enjoy the catacombs. And probably. It's dark and dank, and there's no one else in there who's alive.
He would be flying with the bats, Juliana.
Oh, yeah, he could fly with the bats.
Then Real Fishy was sending us another suggestion on the Malfoys. She just said, maybe they would go to Azkaban? I heard the Dementors really cheer you up.
I mean, sounds great. Sounds like a good time.
Have fun.
I'm not going on that vacation. Sorry.
No.
Okay, and then we had Jeff in regards to the Dumbledore brothers, and he said, they're going to put on Muggle clothes and get tickets to The Price is Right. I mean, that would actually be really funny.
I would love to see that. Oh, that would be so fun.
I feel like, Jeff, you should add that to your list of fan fictions that you're going to write eventually.
Yes, we need that story, please. I mean, we keep making requests towards you, but it's hard to follow up on all the requests that we have for you, but yes.
But he does such a good job, and Jeff just impressed our friends over at the...
Care of Magical Shippers.
That's what it was. Care for Magical Shippers with his amazing Spooch fanfiction, which listeners, you can look forward to hearing that soon.
That's coming out in October, I think.
Yeah, not quite yet, but soon.
Yeah.
So look forward to that. But Jeff is just a very good writer, and we're very happy to have him as a friend, as a fan fiction writer. Words are good. I'm good at words.
He's a blah, 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 blah. Okay. Or is that his second name? Jeff blah, 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 blah. Okay. As a small bonus to finish these responses, we got one more from Sophie, and she says, do you guys know where the Creevies are going on a trip? The Harry Potter studio tour.
That way they can see all of the pictures that were taken during the Hogwarts year.
Yes. They can see every detail of Harry throughout his life is displayed there. And thank you, Sophie. That was great.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Zoe.
And I'm Kelsey.
And we're the hosts of Tea and Strumpets, a Regency Romance Review.
And if you're like most people, you may have just discovered the amazing world of Regency Romance through the smash hit Bridgerton on Netflix.
And whether you're a new fan just diving into the Regency genre, or if you've loved Regency for a long time, we've got a huge catalog of episodes exploring the best of what Regency has to offer.
So join us each week as we take a trip across the pond and into the past in search of swoon-worthy happily ever afters.
We talk about all the Regency favorites like Julia Quinn's Bridgertons or Lisa Kleypas' Ravenels. Plus, we dive deep into exciting new releases from rising stars you're going to love.
Plus, we have fabulous interviews with best-selling authors in the genre like Kerrigan Byrne, Maya Rodale, and Kat Sebastian.
And of course, we are covering the Bridgerton Netflix show. We're speaking to bloggers, costumers, and authors to really talk about seeing this best-selling series brought to life.
And if the show has given you a hankering for more Julia Quinn, we have a full episode recapping and discussing each book of the series.
So check us out on your podcatcher of choice or learn more about us at romancepod.com.
See you on Thursdays, and may all your ever afters end happily.
So that is the end of our feedback and news segment. So let's head on over into our main discussion mail.
So for our main discussion, Juliana and me, first of all, are very much into the Marvel shows. And currently they have the show called What If? And this show is following the creation of the multiverse in Loki's first season finale and is called What If? And it explores various alternate timelines of the multiverse in which major moments from the Marvel Cinematic Universe films occur differently.
Yes.
So with that, I kind of suggested the idea to Juliana that why aren't we trying to do that with the magical world, with the wizarding world?
Yeah. So what the show does very well is they take very, very tiny moments that happen in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and change them slightly. And then you see how that one small change in action or decision really has so many repercussions beyond that one small decision that was made or one small thing that was different from the original timeline that was set. So yeah, that's what we're going to do here. And Mel and I will be playing the part of the Watcher.
Insert the intro thingy that I'm still going to build.
Yes. And if listeners, if you end up liking this segment, let us know because we'll do it again.
In a brand new world of wizarding realities, turning time, having pizza in space, and then there were flubber worms? Don't ask about those, just ponder the question. What if?
We're going to start from a point towards the beginning of the Harry Potter series. It is the point in which Harry is going to shop for his robes at Madame Malkin's in Diagon Alley after he and Hagrid have just gone to Gringotts to pick up his money from there.
So as Hagrid is leaving, Madame Malkin is inviting Harry in a very friendly manner into her shop, saying,
"Hogwarts, dear? Got the lot here. Another young man being fitted up just now, in fact."
She leads him to the back of the shop, puts him on a footstool, and starts to pin up his robes. Right next to his stool is already another boy that is being fitted. That boy's name is Draco Malfoy.
"Hello," said the boy. "Hogwarts too?"
Draco is just showing himself from his very best side, making lots of snarky comments. Harry very quickly realizes he reminds him very much of Dudley. He's asking him all sorts of odd questions and Harry has no clue what's going on. And as the conversation goes on, Draco is very clearly making some strong remarks. He implements some of his own thoughts into Harry's mind, his opinion on the Houses of Hogwarts.
"Well, no one really knows until they get there, do they? But I know we are being Slytherin. Imagine being in Hufflepuff! I think I'd leave, wouldn't you?"
As they see Hagrid standing outside of the window waiting for Harry, Harry is explaining, "That's Hagrid," and adds to that, "He works at Hogwarts." To that, Draco continues to be his charming self, making comments like,
"Oh, he's sort of a servant, isn't he?"
All of this puts Harry into a very sour mood, the arrogant manner of Draco. Draco finishes with comments about old wizarding families, is hinting here on the purity and impurity in his family's opinion.
"I really don't think they should let the other sort in. They're just not the same."
As Harry is being finished up by Madame Malkin's, Draco is leaving and Madame Malkin says,
"That's you done, my dear."
And Harry, not sorry for an excuse to stop talking to the boy, hopped down from the footstool.
And now we are going to jump back in from the start, but we do our own and change it up a slight bit and you will see what we mean. And from there, we take off to thinking about what would have happened.
Yes.
So From the start, we have Hagrid again, who is leaving to the Leaky Cauldron, and Harry is left by himself, entering Madame Malkin's shop.
Hogwarts, dear?
She said when Harry started to speak.
I've just finished up with this boy, so you can come down here, my dear.
As Harry walked towards the cheery witch, a not-so-cheery boy rushed by him and out of the shop.
Must be a rush to get the last of the chocolate frogs over at Honeydukes,
squeaked the witch.
I've heard they've been selling like hotcakes today.
Harry, who had paid the boy nothing but a passing thought, turned to Madame Malkin's, anxious and excited to get fitted for his very first set of ropes.
Yes. So, we've left off Harry at this point. So Draco has come into the shop and finished up just a little bit earlier than Harry has gotten in there, which seems kind of inconsequential. But the nice thing is that we don't get this whole setup. But now we're going to start talking about what if. Juliet is just going right on into it. She just dove right on in.
Now we will ask ourselves, what if?
So, as I was saying, this is really the first point within the series that Harry hears about the Hogwarts houses and gets any kind of preamble as to being part of Hogwarts itself. It's a negative one. That really sets him off on not a good foot, because as we see in the original books, he immediately goes to Hagrid when they're eating their ice cream. He's in a sour mood because he's just had this conversation with this boy who has not only told him that Slytherin is the best house and all the other Hogwarts houses are awful, but people who didn't know about Hogwarts until they got their letter, aka Harry, are below him, and people who are not born of a fully magical family are also below him. He is just in a sour mood with Hagrid in the next scene and asks him about this. And then we get the lovely line from Hagrid. Hufflepuffs are supposedly just duffers. And so that's where that line comes out of. So that's a nice thing for us over here.
Yeah, all of that falls away. We don't have the cliche thinking already hammered into Harry's head. He is still completely clueless and free of these kinds of biased thoughts. Basically, just joins Hagrid afterwards to have ice cream and have a happy, cheery day.
Yeah, in our new reality, we set him up to be in a pretty good mood, because Madame Malkin is a lovely, nice lady, and she's the one fitting him for his robes. So I imagine that given their initial interaction, that she's going to make sure that he has a nice time while he's fitting him for his robes. He's getting a set of robes, and he has ice cream waiting for him. Why would he be in a bad mood in this scenario? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I imagine he goes and they sit and have ice cream and they have a nice conversation about getting fitted for robes and things like that. But it's a positive one. It doesn't start out being a very negative conversation like we see in the actual books.
So we kind of wouldn't even have the conversation following this comments from Malfoy, where Hagrid is telling him about that there are evil wizards and many have come from Slytherin, and he would maybe not even get the hint that he is someone special.
Yeah, probably.
Hagrid is also telling him that that scar and all is a mark of that you survived this attack and that he is the one that killed your parents.
See, I think they would still have some kind of discussion along those lines, because prior to us getting to this point, he has the interactions in the Leaky Cauldron with people who are treating him like a celebrity, and he's...
That's true.
He's kind of still like, what the heck is going on? But it's not in a negative perspective. He's just curious. So I feel like he and Hagrid would have a conversation around like, hey, this is why you are being recognized by all these people. I don't see their conversation really going towards the Hogwarts house discussion that we have in the actual books. So they would more or less probably be talking about just procedural things with getting all of the supplies that Harry needs and making sure that he's set up and explaining the background story of Voldemort and everything like that. But I have a feeling that this would set up Harry to be a lot more unbiased when he goes into the sorting hat ceremony in a couple of chapters.
But I think when we have this conversation between him and Hagrid talking about Voldemort, do you think the fact that he mentions Slytherin and there being evil wizards coming mostly from that place, would it still occur or not?
I feel like that wouldn't really be super relevant, because from what I remember reading these chapters like a little while ago, was that Harry asked Hagrid, well, what if I'm sorted into Slytherin? And they have that conversation around, like you said, there are no good witches or wizards that have ever come out of Slytherin.
Yeah.
And then that gets Harry very worried, because they've been talking about this boy who Harry met who is not a nice person.
Yeah, so in our mind, we think that that would not happen and he would be still completely unbiased when he is going to enter Hogwarts itself and yes. comes to the ceremony. So then we have the moment where we are arriving at Hogwarts and we have this scene before they enter the hall. Now, is that only a movieism or is that in the book as well where Draco is introducing himself to him?
I'm Draco. Draco Malfoy. You think my name's funny, do you? You must be a Weasley.
So how do we think that scene would go if when they meet up there and encounter each other officially? Because he finds out, oh, Harry Potter?
Yes. I think it would depend on, one, what happened on the train. Because not having this bias, let's just assume that Harry and Hagrid have this more positive conversation and Harry still meets the Weasleys at the train and he still sits with Ron and stuff mm-hmm. on the train. So, but everything has been pretty positive up until this point. Harry has yeah. a good positive view in his head. He knows that his friend Ron probably will be a Gryffindor, but Ron's not really super convinced about that for himself either. So I feel like that wouldn't sway Harry in either direction, really. He'd want to be in the same house as the friend he just made, but from the things Ron says in the book, he's not super convinced that he belongs in Gryffindor, except for that everyone else in his family has been in Gryffindor. Mm-hmm. I definitely stand on the hill of that. I think Ron probably could have been a Hufflepuff, but that's just my personal opinion. We go into the ceremony with a lot less bias. I definitely think there'd be some kind of interaction that happens. It might be similar to the one that we see where it is a negative interaction between Harry and Draco, or Draco could just not even notice that Harry's there. Or there's not enough time or something for them to have that conversation and Minerva McGonagall just comes and grabs them earlier than they expected and the conversation gets cut short and they go into the sorting ceremony and Harry is just like, oh wow, pretty hall. Wow. Everything's so nice and airy and there's candles in the ceiling here.
So then we would have Harry being called towards the Sorting Hat, and he definitely would not have the thought, not Slytherin, not Slytherin. What do you think he would be thinking while he's sitting there with the Sorting Hat on his head?
This is the biggest point. I feel as though that our changed point changes. Mm-hmm. The sorting of Harry is the thing that's really going to show the most repercussions, but I definitely agree with you in that. We wouldn't have that internal monologue of not Slytherin, not Slytherin, not Slytherin, because Harry has no reason, given our storyline, yeah. at this point, to think that. He doesn't really know anything about the houses too extensively. I think he might be thinking, possibly put me in Gryffindor, because he, depending on if Ron has been sorted yet or not, if Ron has been sorted into Gryffindor, I have a feeling that Harry would think, oh, put me in Gryffindor, because my one friend that I've made is over there over in Gryffindor.
So since they are going alphabetically, Ron would be technically after him sorted. Mm. So he doesn't even know yet that Ron is going to Gryffindor, but he might be thinking, I would like to go there because his whole family apparently has gone there and he has high expectations of being sorted into the same house. But since we know what the Sorting Hat sees in his mind, I am pretty convinced that the Sorting Hat would actually just decide him to go to Slytherin. Because he sees all the potential very strongly in him because of the Horcrux that we have inside of him, that he would definitely be sorted into Slytherin.
See, I agree with you on this one, too. I think that that's, in our timeline, that's the correct move to make, is to have him be sorted into Slytherin, because he wouldn't be resisting it, because he doesn't have any bias, really, towards any of the houses. And like we said, like he possibly wants to go with his friend. But again, Ron doesn't know. Ron's just like, my rest of my family is there, but I don't really know exactly. And what we're gathering from this universe, Harry doesn't really have any context for the houses that much in any capacity. So I definitely agree with you, Mel, in that he would get sorted into Slytherin. And it would be much more of a passive thing of the hat, maybe thinking about it for a second as he was on his head and having a little bit of that conversation of, ooh, I see great potential here. I see great ambition.
Slytherin!
And Harry would go over to Slytherin, and I feel as though we take a much different pathway. Well, obviously, we would take a very different pathway.
Yeah, from here on, everything is completely different, I think, because he, first of all, is not going to make the same friends.
Nope.
There is maybe a small chance that he is continue talking with Ron and have a friendship with him, but maybe not to the extent. Although Harry is a very stubborn person.
Yeah. I could see him trying, but there's such segregation between the houses at Hogwarts. Exactly. It's like such severe segregation that I don't see their friendship lasting longer than like a little bit longer. Plus, the people from these Hogwarts houses only seem to hang out in their own common room. And they don't seem to bother branching out, which I'd say is a huge loss to everyone else in the castle, because the Hufflepuff common room is wonderful. And you better bet your butt that we are having parties down there all the time. So that's your loss, my friend. We have the best food.
I also think as an 11-year-old, you're still very impressionable. Mm-hmm. And we can tell that he is, in the canon, he's really morphing into this being a Gryffindor and... you don't like Slytherin and you're being against them, basically. Maybe not every person in there, but he adapts very much the whole Gryffindor lifestyle. And I think that he has a great potential to do the same thing with Slytherin when once he's sorted into that. So he would maybe not even seek out the friendship with Ron anymore because he's a Gryffindor. And Slytherins don't do that in the canon, of course. Not in real life. Mm-hmm. He would only make friends there, perhaps.
So my question too is, Mel, because we've determined that this is in alphabetical order and Ron would be after Harry, and Ron has seen Harry be sorted into Slytherin and Ron has made a friend, do you think that that would change the sorting of Ron Weasley if Harry was sorted into Slytherin first and Ron was thinking, my only friend is over there, I want to be with my friend?
Okay, I think that's a very interesting question, but I still gonna stick to Ron is going to Gryffindor because he has grown up with the knowledge of the houses.
Yeah, he knows, and he has very much so bias.
From his family and from his brothers, and he would still rather want to be in Gryffindor, first of all, to follow in the footsteps of his elder brothers, and he constantly wants to prove that he's just as good or even better. And he would be maybe put more into the situation that we know of Harry, where he would be thinking, okay, I really want to go to Gryffindor, 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 while he has the sorting hat on his head. So it doesn't matter if he has made a friend there with Harry, I think he would still would rather want to go to Gryffindor. And then as he has grown up with the thoughts of, you know, Slytherin is not great, and he sees, oh no, the greatest hero of the wizarding world has been sorted into Slytherin. Oh, that can't be good. And then he will be not wanting to be friends with Harry. I don't think he would pursue him.
See, here's my other question, too, is that we all know that Ron wants to impress people and he wants to impress his family specifically. Mm-hmm. What is more impressive than being the best friend of Harry freaking Potter? Harry's just not any kid. And Ron knows that, too. He's grown up in the wizarding world. He knows that Harry Potter is a very famous, special kid. And do you think that Ron's desire to maybe be popular with Harry and to gain that kind of respect would take him over to Slytherin?
No.
I'm just playing the devil right now. I don't think Ron will go over to Slytherin, but I'm just thinking of these counterpoints, because you have to think that Harry's not just any other kid. It's not like you and I met on the Hogwarts Express. You and I haven't survived some weird freak accident from Lord Voldemort. You and I are just Hogwarts students in the best way possible. But Harry is like, it's like if we had Brad Pitt or Obama. Imagine Obama was the next.
Yeah, better choice.
Yeah. We have Obama and Obama becomes friends with me in the cabin. You better bet your butt that I'm following Obama to whatever house that he goes to. If he's already designated me as one of his close friends. Oh, Obama, you can go whatever house you want. I will follow you. Or Michelle Obama, which I would follow her even further than the regular Obama.
But I think Ron is a person that very quickly jumps to conclusions without proper proof. I would think that since Harry basically defeated the Dark Lord and he is then sorted into Slytherin, and Slytherin is in Ron's mind the evil house, that he would think, oh my god, he's gonna be the next Lord Voldemort.
That's sure too. But he's met Harry, though.
Yes.
But maybe Harry's putting on a facade.
That is true. It could be fake. He doesn't know if that is the real him or not. And always with the thought in his mind, what would his family think? And he really wants to please his family, I think, especially his parents. That I still feel like, no, he would not. He would maybe be in the beginning a bit, but he seemed so nice. Could he be evil? And then as soon as we, now jumping ahead a little bit, but as soon as we enter the second year and we have the whole
Chamber of Secrets, Basilisk, yeah, thing.
That could be the heir of Slytherin. Being in Slytherin and being the one that defeated the Dark Lord is just going to feed into that even more. So latest then, I think, Ron yeah. would be saying, okay, stay away. Please do not be my friend. I don't want to be buried by you.
That's such a good point, too. Like, imagine if we get to book two on this timeline that we've now created, and Harry is the heir of Slytherin in Slytherin House, yeah. and he's had time to be influenced by the other Slytherins, yeah. which, on the whole, the ones that we've seen in the books specifically, don't seem to be the nicest of people. Not all Slytherins, trust me, we know plenty of very nice and lovely Slytherins, but the ones in the book specifically, not great people. What would happen if we got to that point? And Harry is just the poster child for Slytherin. I mean, he's literally speaking snake. Schneck, 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 schneck.
How about the thought? Harry is gonna be, from the beginning, Slytherin will be ecstatic, just as Gryffindor was when they got them in the canon.
Yeah.
Slytherin would freak out. They would have the champion of Slytherin. Though defeated the Dark Lord, which is, you know, a bit iffy, but maybe he might be the next leader of them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, here's the thought, maybe yeah. Draco wouldn't have his lackeys anymore, but Draco would be Harry's lackey.
Oh, I feel like I've heard a fan fiction or read a fan fiction like this where Harry gets sorted into Slytherin and Draco becomes a follower of Harry. And Harry mm-hmm. essentially becomes the Draco Malfoy of the Slytherin house. And Harry is yeah. the one calling all of the shots, which I definitely could see happening. And I could see Lucius Malfoy being very upset about the fact that his son is following Harry Potter around like a dog.
I think he would push him very hard to be as his equal.
Yes.
To be in good place and in a good spot with Harry, because that's what the Malfoys do.
Yeah, you have to realize too that regardless of where this timeline goes, Lucius Malfoy has been a Death Eater in the past
yes.
at the start of this timeline. So the fact that his son is taking orders, quote unquote, from Harry Potter is not good. Mm-hmm. If he's working alongside Harry Potter and they are equals, two yeah. thumbs up, my friends. If he's the minion of Harry Potter, my father would hear about that one.
Which gives me the thought that Lucius Malfoy would be trying to pamper Harry as much as he could. He would always try mm-hmm. to... Let's think of the moment where Harry is accepted into the Quidditch team and
yeah.
we see McGonagall in canon giving him the present of the broom. But I am sure Lucius Malfoy would do that. He yeah. would be like, oh, let's pamper this boy because he's going to be useful later. When he yeah. is old enough, he's going to be the next Dark Lord. We have lost the one. He was useless. Let's bank on this little boy who is stronger than the Dark Lord. And he's going to be our next leader. So give him everything that we can. And whatever he needs, he will make sure everything follows in line and goes well for Harry.
Mm.
And pushes Malfoy at the same, Draco at the same time. Like, okay, boy, come on, don't disappoint me here.
I feel as though Draco would get even more slack than he gets in the original canon and would just be even more miserable than he is.
Yeah.
Because Harry would be direct competition. It wouldn't just be
yeah.
Lucius saying things about Harry from a distance. It would be Lucius giving things to Harry and inviting them to their house and bringing people in and probably visiting Harry at Hogwarts and going to the Quidditch games and clapping for Harry and not Draco.
Do you think that Draco could possibly develop an even bigger hatred because of that than he does in the canon?
Oh, I imagine that's exactly what happens. He hates Harry yeah. even more because he's, instead of being a indirect competition, he's now a fully direct competition with
yeah.
the person who he values the most, which is his father. That's just not a good place to be in, where you feel like your parent, who you really want to try and prove yourself to, likes
yeah.
your direct competition more than they like you.
So thinking of how Harry is gonna start his Hogwarts career in Slytherin.
Mm-hmm.
And he will adapt to the lifestyle of the Slytherins and make friends there. Do we think that he will bit by bit turn more to the canon evil side of Slytherin and not be as morally positive as he was in Gryffindor, that he would turn more not so pleasant.
Grumpy.
That he turns more into a version of Draco, possibly, and we can see it in all the other friends that he has as well, that they're not very delightful people.
Yeah. I mean, my hope with this scenario would be that Harry would join Slytherin and he would bring some kind of air of positivity and a little bit of nicety to the Slytherin house and kind of put them more on a neutral playing field in a way that Slughorn does. Because we see Slughorn and he's a Slytherin, he's very ambitious, but he's more on a neutral playing field than he is on a bad or good playing field. And I feel as though if Harry could maintain some of his positivity and morality, especially with his level of influence, could bring a lot of the other people down to maybe not a level of being good, but a level of neutrality where they're not looked at as the evil house per se.
Yeah, but we should not forget that he still has the Horcrux in him, and the Horcrux is part of why he doubts himself more and more the older he gets. And being surrounded by these people in Slytherin might make him fall more into their ways than he would have when he was in Gryffindor. I feel like he might turn more into not directly a person that is very savage like Draco can be, because he doesn't know any better, because that's how he grew up and how his father is taunting him to be, that his Horcrux is having more power over him to think more that way also.
See, I'm wondering too, because if the Horcrux is part of Voldemort and Harry gets sorted into Slytherin instead of Gryffindor, I feel as if the Horcrux would be throwing a party in Harry's head the whole time, because it would be so excited. It's like, I'm in the correct house! Yay! And it's very excited. It's happy to be home.
Yeah.
So the Horcrux would actually feel easier for Harry to deal with, because it'd be more at ease and more relaxed, because in Voldemort's head, Harry is on the correct track then if he is sorted into Slytherin and he's doing all these things. So I feel as though the Horcrux might actually back off a little bit. So maybe that would actually give Harry a little bit more leeway.
Well, as I said earlier, since he is still so young, his mind can still be built very easily. It can be influenced very easily. So this would be a good chance to make Harry more adaptable to the ways of Voldemort, that the surroundings with the people that he has around himself is manifesting that even stronger. So once we get to, for example, the point at Chamber of Secrets where he's doubting, am I the heir? Am I evil? And these thoughts grow more and more the more he is aware that Voldemort is still around and tries to get to him. And there I'm also questioning, would Voldemort have an easier game with Harry? Not that he doesn't know that he has the Horcrux in him, of course, but since he is in Slytherin and he is adapting more to the lifestyle of that place, would he have better, easier access? Because Harry might not have the great support that he has in the original story with Ron and Hermione and the whole rest of the house and Dumbledore.
Yeah, that's a good point, that he wouldn't have the protection that he has, because a lot of the people in Slytherin are either descendants of Death Eaters or kind of fall into following that frame of mind. So if Voldemort came through, or the Death Eaters came through and told people to give Harry up to them, I think they might be a lot more willing than the Gryffindors would be.
Yeah.
Plus, how do you get into the Slytherin common room? Do you just, like, insult the wall or something?
Have you cursed enough people today? Okay, you can come in.
And we just said that we don't think all Slytherins are evil, but here we are.
I think to remember that they also have a password like Gryffindor, but I could be wrong. Slytherin listeners, please let us know.
Yeah, we can't remember. We know how to get into the Hufflepuff common room. Helga Hufflepuff. Tap that on the barrel.
Don't give away our secrets.
I know, it's so complex, and it's just the amount of times that it's changed since it was done. Like, no one would ever know what it could be.
I mean, by now, with the 39th episode, if you have not understood until now that our intro is actually opening our Hufflepuff common room by tapping the barrels with the wand, you know?
Oh boy.
Go back and listen again.
Enjoy it. I feel like this might be a good spot for us to kind of leave off on, Mel, because this is only in book two. And if we do more of these, we'll pick it up further and further into the books as we go along. We don't want to get too far into the future, because that's something that there are so many decisions that would get made before we even got to like book 7 or 6.
Yeah, I think it's a good summary of what it could be
Yeah.
As a start for Harry. And then, you know, if someone wants to think it further, send us an email and let us know how do you think his future continues from the point where we are stopping now to talk about.
Yeah, and hopefully you guys all got the concept of changing that one small moment in time that seemed inconsequential, but really had a lot of repercussions.
Yeah.
If it followed the storyline that we think it would, really changes the entirety of all the books.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of crazy to even think about and to ponder. What if?
So we would really, really love to hear feedback from you guys. Let us know if you liked this. I had fun. I think you too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this was a good idea. So
yeah.
Thank you to Mel for thinking of it.
And I think that we will come back to this every now and then when we feel like, okay, this would be a great episode to make. And we take a new scene and change something small and then go off with our minds mm-hmm. and think what's going to happen.
Yes. Okay. So up next, we have our fun segment of the week. And this week, because we haven't done it for a while, we have a Hagrid's Hut, courtesy of Mel. I did not reread any of these Fantastic Beasts descriptions or books or anything to prep for this in any capacity. So I probably will get it wrong, but that's okay.
And you never should, because it's much more fun that way.
Yes, me trying to rack my brain as to if I can even remember the names of these.
I just remembered that I have actually not written down which ones we have already, so I should check our docs so we don't do any double ones, because at some point we might run into that.
I can tell you if you've read the description before, though,
yeah.
And I'm sure you'll be able to tell, too.
So, I shall flip through the book and you tell me to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Okay. Choose a number between 1 and 3.
3.
What do we have in Hagrid's Hut today?
Blimey, what's he hiding in there?
The beast of today has an MOM classification of 3X.
Ooh.
And 3X's means a competent wizard should cope. All right, the a fish covered entirely in spines and found in the Atlantic Ocean. The first shoal of is believed to have been created as a revenge against Muggle fisherfolk who had insulted a team of sailing wizards in the early 1800s. From that day on, any Muggles fishing in that particular patch of sea have found their nets come up ripped and empty, owing to the swimming deep below.
I have no idea. Can I get a letter that... Can I get the first letter of the name?
It starts with an S.
Sea serpent?
Ooh, no. But...
The slimy scale thingy.
The sea serpent would have been one of the choices you could have ended up with.
Oh, darn. Okay. I have no idea. Well, I literally have no idea what this could be.
I honestly would not be able to remember that one either. But that just means we give this over to you listeners. Send us in your answers and we will name you.
Let you know on the next episode.
On the next episode, if you got it right.
Yes. Okay, so thank you, Mel, for Hagrid's Hut. Blimey, what's he hiding in there this week?
The hmm.
The hmm.
Don't you know? The hmm.
I love the hmm. Okay, so now we will hand it over to Buttercup for her question of the week.
Hello, my dears. Did you like this week's episode? If so, let us know what your new canon ideas would have been. And on top of that, we would love to hear any other suggestions for future What If episodes. So send us in your ideas for other small moments we could change up.
Thank you, Buttercup, for that lovely question. Listeners, if you'd like to answer that question, head on over to our social media sites or send us a DM or email. And if you would like to contact us over here at Puffcast Pod, we are on all platforms where you can find podcasts. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Puffcast Pod. We are over on Facebook at facebook.com/puffcast and on TikTok at Puffcast. And if you'd like some Pizza Wizard content, head on over to @thepizzawizard. On TikTok as well. You can also send us an email at puffcastpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you would think would happen in our what if scenario. So please send us an email. And if you would like to support us over on Patreon and get access to exclusive bloopers and episodes and help us donate to charity each month for as little as $2 a month, you can head on over to patreon.com/puffcast. And if you'd like to, we'd love if you'd leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and we will read it here on the show. So until next time, stay puffy.
And wonder, what if I badger on?
Badger on, badger on.
What if?
What if?
I don't even know what song I'm going for there. But that's okay.
All right.